So I'll ask you to please part with me in peace. And I'm sorry if I'm a disappointment. And this rabbi sat on the couch and cried for the loss, cried for his loss, cried for Torah's loss, cried for Am Yisrael's loss, cried for the galut energy, cried for the lack of geula energy. And he said, if you would allow me just one word, I want to ask you a question. Let me leave you thinking about this. Your son is now not learning a bit of his grandfather's legacy. Whom do you want to win? Your grandfather with his centuries of tradition and saintliness and good deeds? Or them? Or perhaps paraphrased in what we've been developing, the galut or the geula? Please, let me give your son a Jewish education as his grandfather would have wished. Great-grandfather. And he left his card on the couch, picked up his bag, and walked out. Went to the nearest bus stop and was standing there crying. And a moment later, he felt a tug at his coat. Turned around and there she was, and she said with tears streaming down her face, I felt so guilty that I've left. I want to just ask you, if I were to let my son leave and go with you to find his home in Israel learning Torah, would you promise me that you won't paint me out to be evil because I could no longer cope with it? And he said, I promise you, he will always be raised in the interpersonal goals of Torah that include kibud av va'em. He will know that your suffering knocks down the ramparts between God and the future, and he will grow up to respect you as a daughter of Israel. And she said, then come, let's go. They got him. And Rav Lau shared with us that today that boy is a Rosh Yeshiva somewhere, but we can't reveal his name. Another person affected as Rav Lau by the Holocaust. And this is a story that's perhaps less galut and brings us from galut a little bit to the geula energy of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Gustman, a member of the Beit Din of Vilna, city of Talmidei Chachamim, city of the Gaon. Rav Gustman survived Vilna ghetto, came and started a yeshiva here in the Rehavia neighborhood, Netzach Yisrael. And among the Talmidim were young men, and young men go to the army. And one family, including students of his, suffered a loss. And it wasn't the first, actually, in the family. And he went to pay a shiva call for a fallen soldier of his Talmidim. And what can you say to parents who bury a son? It's upside down. It's not the way of the world. Children bury parents. And Rav Gustman spoke to the family, and it was also around Tisha B'Av. And he observed something. Scholars always talk with beautiful poetry. You know, there's a beautiful kina with which we end the keynote. Elitzion the Oreha. Kemo isha betzirah, v'chiv tulach agur atzah, kal v'al ne'yurah, for Zion, whose pain is like a woman in her birth pangs, and like a young woman in sackcloth over the loss of her young love, her husband. And Rav Gusman commented, there are two kinds of cries. There's a cry of birth, ay, ay, and there's a cry of a mourning. I also lost a son, Rav Gusman said. We were in the ghetto, and one day they came, one night they dragged him away. I never saw him again. He didn't even have time to put on his shoes. And what could I do? We were starving. So I took his shoes and I sold them. And I bought 2 carrots with them. And those carrots, I ate one, and I gave one to the widow of the Rav of Dvinsk, the Arsameach, who was there in the ghetto, and she also survived. But I remember feeling I was the fulfillment of the verse, you will eat the flesh of your children. My God. But I want you to know, my dear friends who've lost your son, and there's nothing worse, but there's a crying and there's a crying. There's a crying of a woman over the loss of her young love, because it's a loss, it's a total loss, there's nothing left. But that's not the same as the crying of a woman in birth pangs. Because there may be pain, but there is also birth, and there's future, and there's joy. So my loss was a loss. But your loss is an investment. Your loss of your soldier in Israel makes it safer. Your loss of a young man in Sahal helps us have a home. That wonderful, awesome word, home. We come closer to the feeling of coming from Golah, Galut, exile to Geulah, to home. Rav Shlomo Kalbach tells a story. Rav Shlomo Kalbach always accompanied troops, gave concerts, taught Torah. One time, between the Six-Day War and the Yom Kippur War, a father and a son came to one of his concerts. His father and son, very Israeli, but very different. The father was obviously a survivor, and the son was a young, beautiful, handsome, but somewhat chutzpahdik, brazen Israeli kid. And the father said, Rav Shlomo, please help me, my son. He's wonderful, I love him like crazy, but he has his mishigas. He hates religion. And I don't mind even, let him do what he wants, let him just be healthy. But the latest mishigas, I have in my home a picture of my elder Zaidi, my great-grandfather, a Jew with a shtreimel and a beard and pay as the way Jews were. And my son tells me, I don't want to come into your home and look at that symbol of how stupid and superstitious we were. We are now a new kind of person. And what could Shlomo do? What can you change? But he said, so let's talk. And it's true. He was beautiful, he was Israeli, he was proud, he was home, and he gave of himself for his land. But he had this mishigas about religion. So Shlomo said, I only bless you with shalom. He left. Times came, times passed. Wars come, wars go. Yom Kippur. A year later, this same young man comes to another concert. Aye, but a little different. A beautiful little kippah, you know? Little peilach. It's a new man. So Shlomo goes over to him and says, Shalom Aleichem. Shalom Aleichem. You look great, but tell me, what happened to you? So he says, I'll tell you, you know, I'm in the tank corps. I'm a tankist. And we were down in Sinai. And we were surrounded by Egyptian tanks. And I was the last one of my group, and the rest of my group ran on ahead. I was the last. And I knew that if I didn't get out of there, whoa. The Egyptian tanks are on my tail. There I am in the desert of Sinai. We'll do that at your wedding. And there in the desert, I mean, in the middle of nowhere, I don't know if you've ever been down to Sinai, but you think Kiryat Moshe is nowhere, you ain't seen nowhere. All of a sudden, I'm trying to go as fast as I can, and straight ahead, 100 meters in front of me, is this Jew! In Talis and Tfil and davening. Now, I know Jews are crazy. All right. But that crazy? In the middle of a war zone, he's davening. And I say to myself, you know, that's the straight line. The fastest way to get out of here is straight line. I should really run him over. Saving a life, giving a life to save my life. But how could you do it? I couldn't do it. And so I veered off to the side. Of course, the Egyptians had no compunctions about a Jew in the desert. They went straight ahead. But when they reached the spot where the Jew was, he suddenly backed off, and a landmine exploded their tank, and I escaped. So, that's nice. But then I came back to my father's house. And there on the mantle is a picture of the Jew with a beard and payas, my great-great-great-grandfather. And I looked at him, and that was the Jew! If my great-great-great-grandfather can come back to save my life, I'd better look at this past before I reject it. So here we are in this Geula frame of the world, and we'd better take some of our lessons with us. The bodies were burned, the parchments were burned, but the letters floated up. You've come here to Yerushalayim to learn those letters. You are those letters, after the bodies, after the fire, after the galut, after the 10 martyrs, after all the martyrs, after the rivers and oceans of tears. You are those letters to reunite into Torah. Now let's learn a midrash together. This is a midrash from Midrash Rabbah, as you can see. I'll read it and translate it. It's a simple story. It's based on the fact that Vayehi Bishalach Paro in Parshat Bishalach begins with the word Vayehi, which is often considered to be a negative omen. Vayehi is like oi. And there were several explanations, and now there's yet another in the series. Davar Acher, another interpretation. Vayehi b'shalach paro. It was when Pharaoh sent. Ay, ay, ay. It was when Pharaoh sent. Mashal. Here's a story, a little parable in a quick vignette of a tale. Le'echad shamatza tzror shol margaliot. Someone was walking on the way, actually with a friend, as you'll see in a moment, and he found a little purse of gems. V'lo haya yodea ma biyado, and he didn't know what was in it. He had his backpack and his water and his pillows and his rolled up bed, mattress. Had enough. He's slept enough. But he noticed this little glinty, glittery thing on the road, picks it up, and he's holding his one more thing in his hand, just what he didn't need on a hot day, and didn't know what was in it. Amar lechad baderech. So he said to someone on the way that fell into step with him, Ritzon chalitol atzror hazeh shebiyadi, would you like to take this purse from me? Amar lo, lama li tzror shelcha, why should I take your purse? Amar lo tolo taveini omeid bifanecha, take it, I won't object, I don't need it, it's just one too many for me. Nitala himenu, he took it from him. This person who took it from him, apparently our friend had maybe taken a side path or waited for a while. This person who took the purse from him, Yashav the Charaz, took and categorized and strung the diamonds and gems. Hagadolot liatzman, he made a pile or a string of the big diamonds. And the small diamonds, and the middle-sized diamonds. And he opened the table and started a little booth there. Nichnas otoshem asarlo et atzror ha'ir. The man who had given it to him caught up with him in the city, and he sees he's got a whole business in diamonds going. Ra'ah et ha'ish and et alohi men. He saw the man who took it from him. Shepkachan lo b'chutz, that the people were coming to him and asking about the diamonds. The Adam Bali Kafmi men, one person came to buy, Vamar lo Ktanazo Bechama. How much is a small diamond? Amar lo Bekuf Rebo, 110,000 of dollars. I'm saying dollars, shekels, coins, gold pieces. That's a lot. 110,000, $1 million for a small diamond. The Hagdolah Bacham, and the big one, I'm a little bit, Elef Rebo, 1,000, 10,000, 10 million. The Habenomiot Bacham, and middle size, I'm a little bit, Chet Meot Rebo, 810,000, 8 million dollars. Kevan Shevra'amka, he saw this and realizes what's happened before his eyes. Karab Yadav, he ripped his garments. Amar, Kol Ha'osher Hazeh Biyadi Hayah, this was mine! And I gave it all away. V'chinam Hotzeiti Miyadi, I gave it away for nothing. Oy li lo toha isha kacho chimiyado ka. The miyado. Woe to someone who gives away what he could have had, who squanders his wealth that way. And that answers the original question. Kacha yataro. That's the way Pharaoh was. Hatzror shel margaliot Yisrael. Who were the diamonds? The Jews. He had 600,000 Jews, the best minds, willing bodies, devoted, initially ready to build into an empire. Shehayubi Ado, Shenemar, and there's a play on words there, a tsror, a purse. Tsror hamor dodi li, a bundle of fragrant myrrh is my beloved dodi li, anila dodi v'dodi li in Elul. He killed so bad, so Pharaoh started screaming. Kumu, Zabu, get out. He killed Moshe Momeltam. So as they're leaving, Moshe takes a census. Like the man with the table, he starts adding up what he's got. Sheish Meod Elef, Kut Mishito Shalevi, Shalomana, 600,000 army age Jews, not even counting the Levim. When Pharaoh saw the massive amount that he just squandered, he started to cry, ay, ay, ay. And that, Vayahi b'shalach paro, ay, b'shalach paro. Gentlemen, you are the letters that floated up through all the eras of the burnings. And we've come floating home. And you've had the wonderful fortune and intelligence and good sense to come to harvest those letters. And we at Machon are giving you diamonds. We're giving you the chance to learn with the best, with Israeli minds and American minds that can teach you in Hebrew and English and give you Torah and Talmud and Halakha and tradition and the feeling of understanding why we're home. I don't want to hear someone calling me next year and saying, Rabbi, I was in Machon for a year, but you know, Ben Yehuda was awfully cute. And Thursday night is Thursday night. Thursday night is diamonds. That's the night to be in the Beit Midrash. It's the night to be at the Kotel. It's the night you can move worlds. I don't want to hear next year, Rabbi, if only all those diamonds. I want to hear, as I've told my class, I'm always recommending you learn things to finish them. I want to hear from you next year. I went through Tanakh again. I want to hear, I finished the Masechet, I finished the Seder. I finished Shas Mishnayot, and it's doable, you know. And if you can't give me I finished, how about give me I started? It's diamonds. They are there for the harvesting. Here we are, the first late Thursday night of the new Elul's Mana. Lulei Hamanti, would that it were, it's a word of yearning, of wanting so much. This is the month that you can accomplish everything you want by dedicating yourself to picking up those diamonds, bringing together those letters. I compliment you for making such wise choices till now. And now it's time to harvest. It's time to put aside the galut energy and bring to fruition the geula energy. And that's why you're here. And that's why this is home. And a good year. Hello, Frankenthal.
Don't go back.
We did come back.
You're here. Stay. Beautiful.
Awesome.
Where is? Where's? No. Where is Frankenthal? This goes to him? Oh, so you give this to him, please?
Because I don't know what to do with it.
Is it still going?
I don't know. I don't know how to tell Ethan.
Well, it'll be
you're
funny
on,
if it
you're
is.
You're on, you're on.
It'll be funny if it is.
You can have it.
Does anybody want to volunteer to be chazan?
We have to be more for our beats. We lack our beats.
Stop the recording, though, I think.
Huh.
Good for you.